welcome everybody to Passion City Church Sabbath Pause Gathering, which is pretty incredible to think that through the wonders of amazing technology, we can be all over the place today and still be united as a house, as a family of faith together. And I just want to say welcome to Passion City Church today. You may be watching this on a different day than your neighbor. You may be watching on a different day than somebody else in our house. You may be somewhere in America, somewhere in the greater world. Who knows? But we are one family today, and we are joined in one spirit today to just pause and remember that God is great, that He is everything we need. And so we've missed a weekend together. I hope you enjoyed that. We were encouraging you to spend some time with your family, with your neighbors, with some friends, to do something that you normally don't get to do on a Sunday, to give yourself the permission just to do something that you enjoy, something that refuels you and fills your life up again. So I hope that last weekend was incredible. This is our second weekend, so we're not gathering at 5:15, but we are gathering. And we're just coming back around this idea that for us, Jesus is building this house. He's building our lives, and He is everything we need. And so together, we just want to remember that today. Shelly and I got Brett and Christian here, by the way, with me, and we're going to sort of steer this little journey together. But Shelly and I were looking, we're having to buy a new appliance, and we were looking at appliances. That's pretty awesome. You know, awesome. Appliances are amazing. And the guy that was telling us about the appliances was incredible. I wanted to buy every single thing because if you're a good salesman, I'm a good customer. I'll just tell you that right now. If you're in retail and I roll into your world and you're really good at what you do, I'll buy everything you have because I just love somebody that believes in something so much that they can, you know, make you want to have it. But he was telling us all about these appliances, and it got down to the quality of the appliance. And part of the way that he was selling us on the quality of the appliance was by the warranty that came with this certain appliance. And he said, now this appliance comes with a 5-year warranty. He said, that's unheard of in the appliance world. Normally, you're going to get 1 year because people know it's a dishwasher, it's going to break, and we don't want to deal with it. So he said, this has got a 5-year warranty. And I was like, isn't it interesting? The quality of something is in direct correlation to the warranty that you get.
Yeah.
Remember that I used to have the commercials were giving you a 100,000-mile warranty on this car, on the drivetrain. I don't know what that means exactly, but, you know, bumper-to-bumper warranty, right. And the bigger the warranty, the better the car. And I started thinking about it, that God said for us that we are to take Sabbath every seventh day to stop, to pause, to rest, and remember that He is God. And I know that Jesus is amazing in us, but I think that apart from Jesus, we're not that amazing. We got a 6-day warranty. It's like,
that's
you're not going to make it a year.
Yeah, that's good.
You're not going to make it 100,000 miles. You're not going to make it a month. In fact, we know now in Christ that we don't make it from hour to hour without believing and trusting in Jesus. And so that's where we're starting today. So I don't know if you're at the lake house or the beach house or at your own house, wishing you were at the lake house or the beach house, but maybe you just want to join in with us. If you're by yourself, then you can, this is your moment. You can sing at the top of your lungs along with us as we worship today. If you're with friends or family, you might want to ask them, do you mind if I sing out really loud right now? And you might just want to, you know, join us in your heart. But we want to remember right now that God didn't say to us, hey, you've got a 25,000-mile warranty. You have an all of 2013 warranty. But He said to us, after 6 days, you want to stop. And you want to unplug everything, and you want to disconnect from this idea that you have to keep all the, you know, the plates spinning. And you just want to remember that I created the heavens and the earth, and I created you. And I give life and breath to all things today. Everything on planet Earth today lives and breathes because of me. And so let's do that even from the very beginning. Let's just enter in with that expectation today that Jesus is going to meet us right here. And let's say this together. Lord, I need you. Every hour I need you. Every moment I need you. Every turn in the road I need you. So we're on Sabbath break, yes, but I want to live a Sabbath life. I want to walk a Sabbath walk. Jesus, thank you today that even in the midst of our frustration and our weariness and our own inability sometimes just to take you at your word and say, you are doing all of this in and through me. The outcomes of my life don't depend solely on my efforts, but on you. And even though we struggle with this, you are so kind and so merciful and so patient and so gracious with me and with us. So right now, we're just resting. Right now, we're just pausing and we're entering in, not just to sing a song, but to pray a prayer and to say, Jesus, our hope is in you today. Right. Our hope as a family, as an individual, as a couple, as a person, as a businessman, as a student, as a church, our hope is in you. So Holy Spirit, come and meet us and bring the rest of Jesus to us today. That's our prayer in Jesus' name.
Lord, I come, I confess, and bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall apart, and you're the one that guides my heart. Stand, I'll fall on you. Jesus, you're my hope and stay. It's true that when I cannot stand, I'll fall on you. God, how I need you. you're my one defense, my righteousness. Oh God, how I need you.
That line, it just so grabbing my heart today. You're my one defense, my righteousness. That's the gospel, that Christ is our righteousness. And some of us are tired because we're trying to become righteous in our own strength. So that's the gospel. So let's receive the gospel today. Sin made us bad. No, sin made us dead, but Jesus brought us back to life.
That's right.
And Jesus gave us his righteousness. He made us righteous before God. So we can cease striving today from trying to become good enough to impress God, good enough to make it back to God, good enough to, you know, be in the family of God, to be worthy of God's love and mercy. We can cease from striving to be all those things because Christ has done the work. He did the work to make us acceptable and righteous in the presence of God. So we can breathe that. He's our righteousness, but he's also our one defense. Isn't that great? That's so you don't have to have like a Rolodex of a Rolodex. Nobody has a Rolodex anymore. What is a Rolodex? Okay, Google Rolodex after this is over, not right now, and you'll understand. You don't have to have like in all your contacts, all your defenses. You know, I got to go to my friends. I got to go to my escape. I got to go to my drink or my drug. I got to go to my own self-effort. I got to go to one of my defenses right now. Just need one defense.
That's right.
Just one. And that's to know that the God Almighty, the God of the angel armies, fights for you.
That's right.
He is for us. We say that and sing that all the time. If God is for us, who can be against us? If God is on our side, then it doesn't matter how many people are against us. He's the one defense. And I just want to read some of this out of the message. Brad did such a great job last week of opening up Isaiah 30. And Isaiah 30 is where our kind of core passage for Sabbath break comes from. If you missed out on it, I'll read it for us. It's found in Isaiah 30, 15. And it says, this is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel says. Now, I love it when the prophets are hearing from God and they get these big announcements. And God already has said this several times in the chapter. Oh, by the way, I want to remind you who's talking now. This isn't some guy on a podcast. This isn't some guys that lead a church. This is the sovereign Lord speaking to you today. This is the Holy One of Israel talking now. And this is what he says. He says, in repentance and rest is your salvation. In quietness and trust is your strength. We've tweeted that. We've quoted that. A lot of people bounce back pretty fast. That's my life verse or one of my life verses. That's one of the things I'm hinging on. It's such a solid confession to make, but it's not the whole verse. The end of this verse, verse 15, after it says, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. It says, but you would have none of it. And that's why Isaiah 30 is unfolding. Because the people of God forgot that one thing, that we have one defense. He's already delivered us out of Egypt one time. So who else is coming against us? Well, he's going to deliver us from them too. And that's the beauty of what we're singing. If he's our righteousness, meaning he delivered us from death to life, then he's going to deliver us from whatever else is coming against us. Whatever else is trying to beat us down and steal our life away, he's going to defend us against that too.
That's right.
It's one defense. And they forgot that. The people of God, you know, can you imagine being like those people, just forgetting God like that? I mean, what kind of people are those people? They just forgot how amazing God was and started looking for other defenders. I would never do that. They would never write this chapter about me. I mean, this is us, right?
Right. Exactly.
And so can I just read this for us a little bit? Eugene Peterson, you know, takes this scripture right out of the original language, from the original Hebrew language, which he's a scholar in. And he just breaks it down into sort of the way that you and I talk to each other. And I love it. I want to read it for us and just let this settle on you. So just kind of settle in to Isaiah 30 and let it settle on you. He says, "Doom rebel children, God's decree. You make plans, but not mine. You make deals, but not in my spirit. You pile sin on sin, one sin on top of another. Going off to Egypt without so much as asking me, running off to Pharaoh for protection, expecting to hide out in Egypt. Well, some protection Pharaoh will be, some hide out Egypt. They look big and important, true, with officials strategically established in Zoan in the north and in Haines in the south, but there's nothing to them. Anyone stupid enough to trust them will end up looking stupid. All show, no substance, an embarrassing farce." And this note on the animals of the Negev encountered on the road to Egypt. So now he's letting them know kind of what's on the path to their supposed defender. A most dangerous, treacherous route, menaced by lions and deadly snakes. And you're going to lug all your stuff down there? Your donkeys and camels loaded down with bribes, thinking you can buy protection from that hollow face of a nation. Egypt is all show and no substance. My name for her is Toothless Dragon. So now go on and write all this down and put it in a book so that the record will be there to instruct the coming generations, because this is a rebel generation, a people who lie, a people unwilling to listen to anything God tells them. They tell their spiritual leaders, "Don't bother us with irrelevancies. Don't waste our time with impracticalities." That's what they tell their preachers. "Tell us what makes us feel better. Don't bore us with obsolete religion. That stuff means nothing to us. Quit hounding us with the Holy of Israel. Therefore, the Holy of Israel says this, because you scorn this message, preferring to live by injustice and to shape your lives on lies. This perverse way of life will be like a towering, badly built wall that slowly, slowly tilts and shifts, and then one day, without warning, collapses. Smashed to bits like a piece of pottery, smashed beyond recognition or repair, useless, a pile of debris to be swept up and thrown in the trash. But here comes our core. God, the Master, the Holy of Israel, has this solemn counsel. Your salvation requires you to turn back to me and stop your silly efforts to save yourselves. Your strength will come from settling down in complete dependence on me, the very thing you've been unwilling to do. You've said, nothing doing. We'll rush off on horseback. You'll rush off all right, just not far enough. You've said, we'll ride off on fast horses. Do you think your pursuers ride old nags? Think again. 1,000 of you will scatter before one attacker. Before a mere five, you'll all run off. There'll be nothing left of you. A flagpole on a hill with no flag. A signpost on a roadside with the sign torn off. But God's not finished. He's waiting. He's waiting around to be gracious to you. He's gathering strength to show mercy to you. God takes time to do everything right. Everything. Those who wait around for him are the lucky ones. Oh yes, people of Zion, citizens of Jerusalem, your time of tears is over. Cry for help, and you'll find its grace and more grace. The moment he hears, he'll answer. Just as the master keeps you alive during the hard times, he'll keep your teacher alive and present among you. Your teacher will be right there, local and on the job, urging you on whenever you wander left or right, saying, this is the right road. Walk down this road. You'll scrap your expensive and fashionable God images. You'll throw them in the trash as so much garbage, saying, good riddance. God will provide rain for the seeds you sow. The grain that grows will be abundant. Your cattle will range far and wide. Oblivious to war and earthquake, the oxen and donkeys you use for hauling and plowing will be fed well near running brooks that flow freely from mountains and hills. Better yet, on the day God heals his people of the wounds and bruises from the time of punishment, moonlight will flare into sunlight, and sunlight, like a whole week of sunshine at once, will flood the land. Look, God is on his way. And from a long way off, smoking with anger, immense as he comes into view, words streaming from his mouth, searing, indicting words, a torrent of words, a flash flood of words, sweeping everyone into the vortex of his words. He'll shake down the nations in a sieve of destruction, herd them into a dead end. But you will sing. Sing through an all-night holy feast. Your hearts will burst with song and make music like the sound of flutes on parade en route to the mountain of God on the way to the rock of Israel. God will sound out in grandiose thunder, displaying his hammering arm, furiously angry, showering sparks, cloudbursts, storm, hail. Oh yes, at God's thunder, Assyria, this is their enemy. Assyria will cower under the clubbing. Every blow God lands on them with his club is in time to the music of drums and pipes. God, in an all-out two-fisted battle, fighting against them. That's our one defense. He is our one defense. And when he comes to fight for us, it is God landing on them blows to the music of his drums and pipes. God in an all-out two-fisted battle fighting for us and fighting against them. So let's come around that today. Let's just come around that today and let's just say, Lord, we're going to cease from fighting. We're going to cease from fighting our own battles, from having to defeat our own enemies, from having to make ourselves big enough and strong enough and powerful enough. And we're just going to remember today that the creator of the heavens is our God. The one who calls the stars by name calls us by name today. And we are not alone. You are not alone. And we are not alone.
That's right.
We want to have it, is what I'm saying. Yeah. He said these people would have none of it, and we're saying today, no, we want to have some of it. They said we don't want to have any of it in quietness and rest and repentance and trust. We don't want to have any of it. We're saying today, as people and as Passion City Church, we want
right.
some of it.
That's right.
In fact, we want all of it. We want you, Jesus. Wow. So strong. So amazing.
Awesome.
Great the love, Almighty God, you gave your Son to save us finds us here.
Some of you are clapping along with me. Yes, you are. Yeah, so great. It's so powerful, isn't it? Just to be able to link the truth of God and His Word to our response and the worship. That's where the power is. And we always say that around Passion. It's the Word and worship. It's this beautiful rhythm that is where, you know, life is when we come together as a people or we're just alone worshiping with God. But it's letting that Word land on our heart. And that Word convicts me. It's interesting what Isaiah is saying. You know, one of our other key kind of cornerstone, no pun intended, phrases and verses of truth at Passion City Church is just like, okay, here's where we are. So we're just going to turn the page. One page back right here. It's like a pivotal passage for us as Passion City Church. Always has been. From the very beginning, long before we had our first public gathering, this passage was really, really integral to our journey. And it came at a time of real weakness in my life personally, and a place where we were just really barely taking our first baby steps as Passion City Church. And one night at the Petersons' house, Chris read this passage over our little tribe, maybe 20 of us in the room. And it's still that important to us even today. Mm-hmm. And this is what it says. It says, again, this is what the Sovereign Lord says. So I'm getting a message, Brett. I'm starting to hear something today. I'm starting to hear that we can say, you know, I talked to so-and-so, and they told me whatever. Or I heard, you know, so-and-so said, or so-and-so tweeted, or so-and-so's thought was whatever. That's a lot of our thinking, and I think God's kind of wanting to break in today to all that. Say, that's great. Love your friends. Love the input. Love getting other people's feedback and counsel. There's wisdom in a multitude of counselors. But this is what the Sovereign Lord says.
Good.
So if their name's not the Sovereign Lord, make sure whatever they're saying, you know, stacks up against what he's saying to us. Because he's wanting to speak to you and me, to us. And so this is what the Sovereign Lord says. This is Isaiah 28, verse 16. See, I lay a stone in Zion, a tested stone, a precious cornerstone for a sure foundation. The one who trusts, specifically the one who trusts in it, who trusts in that stone, that precious cornerstone, the one who trusts will never be dismayed. Will never be dismayed, the one who trusts. And so that's here. And then one verse over, one page over, we've lost the plot already. And we're going off to Egypt because it looks like if we pay them enough, they'll defend us from this enemy that's charging down our throats. And he's saying, I already laid the stone. I already laid your foundation. You don't have to go off to them or look to these people over here. I've already laid your foundation. And then in Isaiah 30, right above the passage that we've been making our central passage, he talks about how they went and built this alliance. And that's just a picture for you and me of depending on our own strength. It's that mentality, you know, Brett, you used to live in New York City, and they say New York's the city that never sleeps, which, right. Is that true? You never slept the whole time you lived in New York?
A year and a half, no sleep.
No sleep for a year and a half.
Exactly.
It really, the city does sleep, right. But while you're trying to sleep is when the trash men come.
Right.
And this goes on all night long. So there's a lot of banging going on through the nights down the streets while the trashes are being emptied. But the city does sleep, but it's kind of a proud slogan, isn't it?
Right, absolutely.
We're the city that never sleeps. And that's, nobody ever said that's a dumb slogan. They said, yeah, you go to New York, and man, the lights are on. There's always somewhere to go. There's a club open. There's a restaurant open. There's something to be at almost all the time in New York City. And everybody looks at that and goes, yeah, great. That's awesome. Makes total sense. And God's like, no, that doesn't make sense. No knock on New York City. It's just, that's not the plan. Because even before Adam and Eve sinned, God instituted rest. Rest wasn't for broken people. Rest was for the created, perfect people. God rested on the seventh day, and God was perfect. And so for us, we just want to say, you know, we want to be a people who don't fall into that rhythm of this world. Oh, so-and-so, they're killing it. They're working so hard. Oh, man, they're working through the weekend. They're getting projects done. They're getting ahead. That's how they're getting promoted. And that's not God's way. That ever-ceasing sales job that the enemy does on us that says, if you want to get ahead, you got to work and work and work and work and work. And you got to form alliances and make deals with people that maybe, you know, a little shady here, a little shady there. But you just got to do what you got to do. And God's saying, no, you don't, because I've already laid for you, for your family, for your marriage, for your children, for your household, for this household. I've already laid a foundation.
Awesome.
His name is Jesus.
So great.
He is a tried and tested stone, a precious cornerstone. and everyone who trusts in him, who, you know, pull a little Brad Horton here. I don't know how good the furniture is, but everyone who trusts in him, I think we might have just blown up the camera shot. Everyone who trusts in him will not be dismayed. Everyone who just says, you know what, I'm going to make a choice here to stand on Jesus. Yes, I've got enemies coming. Yes, they're trials. They're always going to be with us. But I'm going to stand on Jesus. And the people of God said, no, we're going to go make an alliance. And when they did, he said, it looks like you're building walls. That's the picture he gave. It said, it looks like Egypt's going to help you build a wall. And he said, that wall is, he said, look at it. It's starting to lean. It's got a little crack and a bulge. It's not going to make it. And then he said, the very wall, the thing you thought was going to defend you, comes crashing down. It's pretty sad, isn't it, when we don't go to God and we do go to something else, and the something else crashes down and we're sweeping up the something else. We're sweeping up the mess of, you know, I thought this escape was going to bail me out of this pain I've got. I thought if I ran off to, you know, this pleasure, that was going to bail me out of all the enemies inside me. And then we're sweeping up that mess again. And God's saying, you've already got what you need. You don't need walls. This is a revelation for me today that we don't need walls. We don't need to protect ourselves. I don't need to protect myself from you. I don't need to build a fence so that you can't see my weakness. I don't need to put up a facade so that you think I'm more spiritual than I am, because I'm standing on Jesus. I don't need a wall around me. You can see me and see that I don't have it all together, but I'm standing on the one who is all together. That I don't have my spiritual life all in order today, but I have moved into the family of God, Ephesians chapter 2. I am now built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, and Jesus himself is the cornerstone. And in him, this building is being built together into a holy temple that rises up to become a dwelling for God by his Spirit. So we don't have to pretend. Come on with that today. We don't have to pretend, you know, like I'm doing good against all my enemies. It's like, no, I'm not doing all that great all the time, but I'm standing on Jesus. And it's okay if you see that I'm weak, because that will just prove moreover that Jesus is strong.
That's right.
Because that's the only reason I'm standing. That's the only reason Passion City Church is standing. I mean, your pastor was so weak when Chris read that verse. Having some kind of a stress, anxiety collapse in my life. And, you know, I would love to just put walls around that and say, no, that never happened. No, I was always a rock. It's like, no, I was crumbling. But it turns out that the one under me, he was good. He was true. So Passion City Church, we don't have it all together. But we are on the one who holds us all together.
So good. So true.
Yeah. So I wonder if maybe that's the message. I think that might be the message today. I think that might be where we're going to find the rest today. Is just go ahead and knock the walls down. Don't wait for them to crash down. Just go ahead and knock them down. So you know what? I'm going to have to get rid of these props, like all my self-effort. I'm just going to knock that wall down. I'm still going to work and do my best at what God's given me to do, but I'm not going to believe anymore that it's my self-effort that keeps the plate spinning, that makes the world go round, because it's not. God is sovereign, and if he doesn't make it happen, it's not going to happen. And maybe you've put your hope in possessions or achievement, accomplishment. Just knock that wall down. Now, that wall's not going to give you what you need at the end of your days. And whatever this other thing is over here, so many people struggling with that in our church. Drink and drugs, all kinds of things that have promised to us that I'll get you through, I'll help you make it. I'll be a high wall for you to defend you against that hurt, that pain, that disappointment, your fears, your anxieties. No, the wall is not going to work. So we just knock that wall down. And let's say to Jesus today as a church, Jesus, we're going to stand on you. We are going to stand and trust you fully. Brad said, we want to stop. So let's do that. It's not a natural, normal, human thing to do. New York never stops. But we need to. And at Passion City Church, we don't want to be the house that never sleeps. We want to be people who rest in God and who trust in Him. The world says, fill up the silence. And God says, no, empty the noise. I mean, you get 30 minutes. What do you want to do of silence? What are you going to do? Check my Facebook? Flip on television? Get some music going? Turn on the radio in the car? And he's like, what's wrong with silence? Whatever happened to silence? And so we're trying to fill up the silence because we don't maybe like what we're hearing. And God's saying, no, empty the silence. I mean, empty the noise and create a space that I can breathe into, that I can speak into, that still small voice. He said, stop. The second thing Brad said was rest. That's not taking a nap, although please have a nap. It's really more about an attitude that says it's Christ in me. Not I, but Christ in me. And then that last one was just remember. Remember. And so let's do that today. Guys are going to lead us out. But before they do that, I want to just give us 60 seconds of remembering. A little exercise we're going to do together. And I want you to clear your mind and your brain of everything. And I want you just to let God wash over your memory with things that He has been faithful in this year. Things that He has come through in where you thought, we're not going to make it, but you did make it. We're not going to be able to, this isn't going to work out, but it did somehow work out. You did endure. You are still standing. You are still here. God did provide. Maybe not exactly the way we wanted, but He did provide. Maybe not exactly the way we told Him to do it, but He did do it in His way. And so I just want us to remember. And then these guys are going to lead us out. And in just a few days, we're going to be back at 5:15 together, September 1st, amazing Sunday, celebrating baptism. All of our team's going to be here leading. I'm going to be leading. And we're so excited about coming back. So make sure you're in the house on Labor Day Sunday, 10, 12, 30, or 5. And in the meantime, just be praying and believing God for what He has for us in the year ahead. We love you guys so much. We love this house. We love what God is doing. But for now, before we go out with this last song, let's just remember. And so 60 seconds, we're going to put it on the clock and just be still and be quiet and say, God Almighty, we want to thank You for Your faithfulness in our lives. So we're stopping, we're pausing, we're resting and ceasing from our own efforts, and we're remembering that You have come through, not just for us, but for every single generation. And You're waiting for everyone listening today. You're waiting to come through for them. And the moment that they say, no, God, I am going to have it. I am going to have it. I'm going to have quiet, trust, repentance, and rest. I'm going to turn around in my journey. And I am going to turn away from what I thought was going to bail me out. And I am going to turn to the God who is the foundation for my life. And I'm going to surrender my life, my path, my dreams, all my fears. I'm going to surrender them all to You. Because You are faithful. So God, remind us right now of Your faithfulness as we remember, so that we can give thanks for who You are. In Jesus' name.
maker, promise keeper, you finish what you begin. Our provision through the desert, you see it through to the end.
Sing it, promise maker.
Promise maker, promise keeper, you finish what you begin. Our provision through the desert, you see it through to the end. I remember, Lord, that you see it through to the end. So I trust you. And I sing, Lord, our God is ever faithful, never changing through the ages. From this darkness, you will lead us, and forever we will say, you're the Lord. Plans are for your glory. Yes, we can know you are good. I believe it. Yes, we can know you are good. I've seen it. I know that the Lord our God is ever faithful, never changed. Trust you, Lord, we trust you. You will be everything, every moment of every day. You will be everything, every moment.
trust you, Lord, we trust you. So let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. Yeah, let the walls come down. Yeah, let the walls come down. So let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. You are enough for us, so. So let the walls come down. Yeah, let the walls come down. Let the walls come down. All our hope is in you, Lord, so. And we won't move without you. We won't move without you. You're the light of all in all. Lead me right here, right now. We won't move without you.
And all that we need.
So Lord, that's our prayer and our hope and our dreams, all wrapped up in your hands. Just pray over the people of Passion City Church.
Yes, Lord, we do.
And over the people of the world, anybody who is joining us on this little journey. Pray today that they would know that you are their provision. And we trust you to be provider, God. God, we pray over our lives and over the people of Passion City Church that they would know that you are our protector, that you are their protector, that you always have, in ways we've never even seen, been watching over us and protecting us. And you are going to lead us all the way through. And Jesus, I pray over us, our lives, for Shelly, me, and for our family in this house, and for all of those in this house, that we would know that you are our portion, that our hearts were made for you, Jesus. Our hearts weren't made for Egypt, but they were made for you. And you are what fills us. You are what completes us. You are what breathes life into us, Jesus. So we praise you that you are our provision, and we love you because you are a great protector, but we are running after you because you are our portion. And in the rest, we just want you to know that you are the very best thing in our lives. You're the best thing on this earth, and we love you. In Jesus' name. So thank you guys so much for joining in today. I hope the rest of your day, your night, whatever it is amazing. Wow. I have a feeling when you go away in a minute, we're just going to hang out right here for a while because something has descended in our midst. God's presence has just come in our worship, and it's so great. We love you guys.
That's right.
I can't wait till Labor Day weekend.
Yeah.
Isn't it weird that that's we end our Sabbath break on Labor Day weekend? Do you ever think about that?
I think about it now.
Big Sabbath pause, Labor Day.
Back on Labor Day.
But Labor Day is a holiday, which is another weird thing, but you can work that out on your own. But anyway, we love you guys. We'll see you back here September 1st. 10 a.m., 12:30, 5. Bring somebody with you. Yeah. People are kind of inclined to do something new around Labor Day weekend. So bring somebody along. It's going to be an incredible celebration. Love you guys.
Yeah.
Hope the rest of your rest is awesome. Thank you for resting and leading in your rest.
This has been rest. This
is so great. So great. See you guys soon. Take care. Bye-bye.
See you.